Big mazel tov. Big mazel tov to Paul Chanel's, yeah. I thought, yeah. Very nice. Okay, before we actually continue with the Ramah, which has a lot of additional points, I must complete one point of yesterday's discussion, in fact, discussion that we had for the past week, which is about Machlo ben Rusoi. And we've spoken previously about the definition of Machlo ben Rusoi, which the Mishneh Berurah said in Sivkot Lamed Ches, K'machlo ben Rusoi, Mishneh Berurah said in Sivkot Lamed Ches, Yesh Oim Chatzi Bishul, according to some, it's half cooked. Fish oim and shlish bishul, and according to some, it's a third cooked. So we've got a machlokes as to whether it's half cooked or third cooked. Pardon? Yes, machlokes is shoyim indeed. Yeah. So the shaila is as follows: How do you actually work it out? What's a third cooked? Look at a potato and tell me what's called a third cooked. Look at a chicken and tell them what is called the third cooked and half cooked. Halacha ma'aseh. Mamash le'maaseh, le'maaseh, le'maaseh. You want to know if you can keep it on the...
Should it be estimated or does it have to be exact?
Even if it's estimated. Yeah, estimated on what?
Exact, because there's a range. Some people like the meat rare, some people like it well done, some people like it medium.
Okay, so how do you work it out?
Let's say if it takes usually an hour, so 20 minutes or...
Yes, estimated.
Estimate on what? How do you estimate? What is... What is the third?
Two-thirds cook, you're nearly there. Mishas the chak, you just bite in and max your hand. Two-thirds cook. He's royal achila. One-third cook. Chat is one-third cook.
Right, so that, generally, the way it works is, let's talk about a potato, yeah? So, normally, if you've got the water is bubbling, you put the potato in. Now, the way it normally works, I think so anyway, is that for the first so and so much, not it will be, if you look at the potato, it's going to be pretty, not much change. And when it reaches, once it reaches a certain, then it's going to get cooked. I think that if you do it in a, what's it called, in a graft, it will probably go like this. Is that true or untrue? It's not like this.
What are the two
variables in the grass? Yeah, it speeds up towards the end. Oh, thank you so much. I make me feel much more confident now. Yeah, it speeds up. No? So you put a potato, if it takes 10 minutes to cook it, just as an example, so in the first 5 minutes, there will be very, very little in the potato. Nothing will change the potato. Over the last 5 minutes, it's going to first slowly, then it goes, it's going to cook. So in other words, I want to know how to work out when something is called shlish bishul. When is something called, okay, you're telling me two-third cooked is like when you can just about like bite into it and like if you have no nerves. Machlo ben Rusoi.
Yeah.
That's a third cooked. How do you work out what is a half cooked and a third cooked? How do you work it out? No, you said it's a machlo ben Rusoi. So no, let me hand. Ah, okay.
Very, very red.
Very, yeah, so.
You feel raw and rubbery, you can feel it. Raw and rubber.
It was two-thirds cooked,
sort of... You know. What about vegetables? The thing about vegetables is that you can eat them raw.
So not all the vegetables you can. Not all the vegetables you can. Think about vegetables you can't eat raw. Yeah. So how do you work it out? How do you work it out? So I'll tell you, there is a chazanish, which that itself is a food for thought. Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. Chazanish, Halik Chazanish says as follows. But you can really debate it, but it's mamash lomdish. The Chazanish says that if something cooked, how long does it take to cook a piece of meat? Give me a realistic figure.
I could eat it. I'm not telling
you. It takes
2 hours.
So you take these 2 hours until it's fully cooked. Vushel, kol, sokai. And then you divide it if you want to know how long does it take to cook? 2 hours, 120 minutes. Half cooked. Is if you had it in the bubbling water or in the cooked, in the head in the oven or whatever it is, for half the time. Half the time. That will be called Chatzi Bishul. You don't know what's called Machlo ben Rusoi? You don't know what's called the third cooked? Well, that's a third of the 2 hours. So you go according to the time. You go according to the time and you divide the item into half and into a third. It's a big Chiddush. Why is it Chiddush? When it reaches the state that the heat heating up is not considered. Yaakon Chazanish, heating up not. You put it in once it's reached the bubbling or boiling or the heat level. that it's going to cook in. That's from that until mushal katzoka, you divide it into a half. It's chatzavishal, a third. So why is it a big chiddush? It doesn't necessarily mean anything. In terms of the food, the cooking process, it doesn't really, after half, you mean it's not going to be half cooked. Half time doesn't mean half cooked. It doesn't.
When you say when it starts bubbling, that's when you start...
Timing.
And then
so you have the bubbling water, and now you throw the potato in. If it takes 10 minutes, it takes 10 minutes to cook it until it's completely cooked. Yeah? So now, after 5 minutes, if 10 minutes, so if you throw, the 10 minutes starts from when you throw it in the bubbling water, and the mushkul tzoka is after 10 minutes of being in there. So if it's mushkul, machabud, so it's a 3 1/3, and if it's chatzibishul, it's 5 minutes. If you touch it after, the chiddush is that if you look at it, after three minutes, I don't know if Ben Rousseau himself would eat it. I don't know. I mean, Akun Chaznish obviously would, but it's definitely a big chiddush. Definitely a big chiddush that you just go according to the time. Perhaps the Chaznish holds. But you're not looking at the water. Water's not what we're not referring to the water. Yeah, it's just about. I'm just talking about the cooking. When do you actually start? I'm saying I'm just talking about the oven. Oven needs to be hot, and that's when you start timing it. Not that heating element. Yeah. So, right. Naftar, what do you think about it? It's interesting, no? It's not what they thought. There's cholkim on it. Okay, now we continue with the Rama. The Rama over here is famous. It's famous in the world of the Poiskim. This Rama is famous in the world of the Poiskim, not because of the Halacha, but because of its concept. Because of its rule that is applied over here. So its application is, there's an application over here, and it's famous in the rabbinic world for its rule behind it. Okay. Says the Shulchan Aruch, who are after the words of V'nagu L'Okel Kisvar Achrona, who are after the words of Shulchan Aruch, V'kol Zeh B'Inyan Shehiyah. Everything, Shulchan Aruch says everything we discussed now with regards to the Issa of Shehiyah. Shakideira. The definition of Shehiyah is that the Kedera Yosheves was placed al kisei on the stand, shel bazel of metal, or al gabe avonim, or on the stones. Ve'ein on a gas bekecholim, is not touching on the coals, the burning coals. Avol, but hatzmona, but the concept of hatzmona al gabe kecholim, which is on coals, tibah coal also according to everybody's osur. So now this is now is going a little bit slightly off topic, if I may say so, on the Heilige Shulchan Aruch and Heilige Rama, because they're now asking, say, you know what, everything we discussed now is all about Shehiyah with regards to leaving a cooked item in the oven. In the oven you've got like a stand. You've got the fire underneath the coals, the fire. What would you, Chaim, how would you call it? Like something stand? A stand?
The rack,
yeah. Yeah, okay, like something, yeah, that's right, that's what it is. He says, that's all right. But now, he says, one second, don't confuse that with when you actually place the dish, the food, or the pot, when you actually place it in the coals itself. Obviously, a lot of people like to put the pot in the coals. Why in the coals? Much quicker. It's in the coals, it's in the fire, as it were, it's in the coals. So he said, that is considered the concept of Hatzmona. Now, Hatzmona says, oh, that's all different. Hatzmona, here, with Atman is a different Issa altogether. And the truth is, I don't want to spend time on it now here, because Atman is actually discussed extensively in Resh Nun Zayin. There's a whole simon called Din Atman Aschamen, where everything is discussed in great detail, and that's where we discuss the Atman Shailas. But the Rama does bring it over here, it just says that, hold on a sec, everything we discussed now, don't confuse them with Atman. Yeah. No, so it's referring to the coals. No. The Atmana is only with regard when there's coals or a insulating material, but not actual fire.
For Shehiyah was saying when the pot is not touching the coals,
Yeah. Ah, I see, but that's still, yeah. No, because it's not touching, because it's not an insulating material. Hatmona is defined. You're asking why is it not called Hatmona? Is that what you're asking?
I'm asking if that is more
strict. No.
Because
no.
Flames are touching
no.
The pot,
no.
Whereas
we're
talking here.
It's there's a certain distance. Yeah, no, it won't make a difference. No. Yeah, no, because he just says that when it's Hatmona, because he's referring to Hatmona, that you should know that. Yeah, because he's as opposed to Atmana, which is yeah, correct. It's as opposed to Atmana, which engrossed in the yeah. Says if yes, yes, he says because they've been in Chia, so Shabbos Akteir Shabbos Al Kisis Shel Basel. I've got one of the enemies bechalim. Have Atmana get bechalim to be a kolos. But when it's touching the cold, then you've got a problem. Now comes the Ramon, he says, V'yeshoim, some say, now, Freelim HaKedera, Medes Al Gabi O'Eish Mamesh. You know what, says the Ramon, even if the pot is actually on the fire itself, or on the coals, coals manchi megula lemalo, lo miki atmona v'shori. Now, the Ramon gives an atomic bomb over here, and he says, but we'll discuss that in Reish Nuntzayin more extensively, that when you've got Hatmona is only a problem if it's completely wrapped up with coals and it's completely all around, you've got coals. However, if there's only coals in the bottom, that's not considered Hatmona. Again, we'll discuss that in a later simon, but Ramon just drops it over here and he leaves it to Reish Nuntzayin. He makderi yoshevs al gabi gicholem, if it's sitting on the fire, eish mamish, kozman shi megula lemala, if it's uncovered on top, the pot is uncovered on top. It's not mutman. It's not covered up. Lo mikra atmana is not considered. Atmana v'shorin is muta. V'chena minig is that is the minig. Okay, we'll leave that for now. Rak. Sheni now. But now that's what I want to discuss now. Rak. Only. Sheni zorim ledatkon k'tas k'odim ha-shabbos minu eish k'te shiuchal yisrael ha-asirim misham. This is all done. You've got now the pot. The pot, he says, if it's in the cold, you've got to ensure that you're lifting it up a little bit. The pot needs to be like lifted up a little bit from the coals. If it's completely like not sinking, if it's like
submerged,
very good, thank you. In the coals, and then it says then it's a problem. Why is it a problem? Not because of Atmana and not because of Shia. If you've got a pot submerged in the coals, you've got a problem because if the yid k'deshuchal yisrael asir misham, because if the yid removes the pot, what's going to happen from the burning coals? Exactly. The Ramona is addressing, he's going on a side point, but that's what I want to speak about now, because Ramona speaks about, if you've got, again, you've got a pot, which is submerged in coals. He says, forget about Atmana for a minute, forget about Shehia for a minute. He says, you have to ensure that it's not submerged and it's lifted up with some sort of stand or something. Because if the pot is in the coals and you're lifting it up, inevitably, what's going to happen is that the coals are either going to get extinguished to some extent or they're going to start being rekindled to some extent. And that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos Kodesh. So you have to ensure that the pot is not submerged in the coals, but it's something in between. That's what the Ramah says. Actually, Zorim Lenatkon Ktas, to need to be removed some to some level, Kodesh HaShabbos before Shabbos, Mino Eish, from the fire, Kidei in order, Shuchal Yisrael, Ashir Misham, in order that Yid should be able to remove the pot from there. Now, and now comes again, this is a famous Ramah. In the rabbinic world, this is mamash a famous Ramah. What happens if it's not been taken away from the fire? And you've got the pot submerged. Thank you so much. Submerged in the coals on Shabbos. And the pot is like in the coals on Shabbos. You can't take it off. Ramah says, you may not take it away. Why? Because you're going to do a Chil Shabbos. You're extinguishing, rekindling on Shabbos. You're doing Kippur Yavor on Shabbos. So, but you're allowed to do this. You're allowed to ask a goy to do that. You're allowed to ask a goy to remove the pot on Shabbos. Why? We're allowed to ask a goy to do it. Why?
No, we're allowed. It's not
allowed
to remove it.
Why is it? What's that?
It's not malacha per se. A mirror that akum is when you ask them to do a malacha, right? You're taking it out.
Oh, very good. So Beazel says a svara that the reason why I'm allowed to ask a goy to do that is because you are asking a goy, you're asking goy not to do malacha per se. You're asking to do a goy to do an action which inevitably is going to cause a psikresha of kibbuy avora. What are you asking the goy to do? You're asking the goy, take the pot. Lift the pot. Lift it up. No, we're not talking about Shia, and we're not talking about Atmon. We're talking about Kibbutz and Avora. He didn't know. It's Mavushal Katzalkoi. You don't need to do it. You've got a pot in the cold on Shabbos. The Ramah says, ideally, you have to remove it. You have to have like a stand. What happens if you didn't? So the Ramah says, you may not lift it up because you've got cold going to be moving on Shabbos. But the Ramah does say, first Chiddush, you're allowed to ask a goy to do that. Why allowed to ask a goy to do it? He's doing Chil Shabbos. He's doing Kibbutz and Avora for you on Shabbos. The answer is because it's a psik reisha. It's not direct. You're not asking a goy to do melacha. All you're asking the goy is to lift up the pot, which is going to cause a Kibbutz and Avora. Even if you know it's going to happen.
Why would it cause Avora?
Because the coals are going to get moved and shoveled by moving it up. So now, Rabbi said, this is a massive chiddush. We're learning now. Amira, there's a rule over here. The Amira Lenochi, there's going to be another rule coming shortly, which is even more relevant. But Amira Lenochi, to ask a goy to do an action which is a psik reisha of a melacha, for you as a yid, it's also probably the reisha, but as Amira Lenochi, it's mutter to do. So now it will be a good example for that. Only what? No! Oh, well, wow, that's interesting when you're saying that. Okay, it could be. Okay, it could be. But for sure what we're saying is that the psik reisha, Amir al-Nochi, the psik reisha. So what would be a good example for that? I'll tell you what a good example of that is. What Rabbi say, the Fritz Shaila is often applied for that. It's not mamash doime, but just to bring out the point. Okay, you've got a fridge that the light went on, or you forgot to switch it. You know, the light went on, sellotape, fridge, whatever. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, so now, you're not allowed to open and close, obviously, the fridge on Shabbos Kodesh if the light goes on. Why? Because you are doing an action of opening and closing, which indirectly is going to cause the light and avodah. Are you allowed to ask a goy to open the fridge, to open and close the fridge for Yom Shabbos? You're allowed to ask the goy to do it. So Amir Nochi of an Issa Darbonon also, right? You're not allowed to ask a goy to an Issa Darbonon generally. And certainly if it's the Reisa. Let's say switching on the light, which is the Reisa. You're allowed to ask a goy to switch on the light for you, like this? You're not allowed to. So here, it's a direct melacha. But now we are now. Some rabbani want to say, and I can hear the debate about it. But I just want to bring out the point that based on this Ramah, you're allowed to do it. Why? Why are you allowed to do based on this Ramah? Because if it's a psikresha, if it's considered psikresha, which again that's debatable, but if it's considered psikresha, Amir Lenochi of a psikresha is mutter. Ramah says.
But why is it psikresha as opposed to a darim?
You say that it's gomer. Is that what you're saying? What are you saying?
It's not
what is it? Just like over here, it's inevitable that the coals are going to get extinguished. And that you're allowed to do. So similarly also over there, the light's going to go on and off. But you're asking him to open the fridge. And what's going to happen is a psikresha of the light's going to... So there is differences, but I just want to bring out the point. That there's a concept over here that we're learning. That Amir Lenochi, although it's also, but when it comes to a psikresha, it's permitted. Yeah. No. That goes into the shadow of psikresha, but the answer is not necessarily no. Because the psikresha is defined by the normal melacha. Okay, I can't go into that now. But the answer is clearly not. Psikresha is defined by what the normal melacha is and its consequence. Yeah, I do understand. Understand that you're saying that in terms of the goy's intention. It's always going to be a psikresha. Is that what you're saying, right?
Every melacha that a goy does, something that's going to happen.
Why? Give me an example. If I ask a goy to switch on the light, it's not a psikresha. It's not a psikresha. No. Psikresha nothing with vada, not vada. That's mamash. You're asking to the actual melacha. It's only because it's a knock on. That's why it's a psikresha over here. Because you're lifting up and the coals get shoveled. That's a psikresha. Okay, we continue because there's more to come. Now, veime leke en yudi, and if there's no goy available, motan Israel as yem sham. You even have to, Yid himself is allowed to remove the pot. Why? Veizoy shikachen misham benachas v'lanei agicholim. If you move the pot of these coals and you're being careful that it doesn't get extinguished and nothing happens, you're really careful, gently, slowly does it, you move it like this and things don't get moved away, then, says the Ramah, that's also mutar. And then, they get moved a little bit, is permitted. So now we're learning another rule over here. That, let's see what the Mishnah Berurah says in Sifkot Nun Aleph. Mutar Yisrael. You're allowed to move away the pot from the coals gently, and even if they get moved and shoveled and extinguished, it's mutar. Says the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot Nun Aleph. Why? Mutar Yisrael. Dafka kshemed is akedeir al gabi gecholim, if it's standing on the coals. Havala gecholim unachim sov akedeir also Yisrael asiroi. If the mam is leaning on it, the coals are leaning on the pot, it's going to be also. Mishum shalden etilas. Because when he takes off the pot, it's for sure going to happen, that's going to be also. Okay. The Mishnah Berurah is teaching us over here as follows. Again, just to get the case clear. Ideally, you should get a goy. Now, ideally, you should have a stand. I'm going to start a step before that. We're learning that, never mind Issa Shehiya, never mind, it's a chazora. If you've got a pot in the coals, you've got a problem anyway. You've got a problem. Not a Darabonon problem, a Deraisa problem. If you're lifting up the pot from the coals, you're going to extinguish the coals, and that's Issa Deraisa of Mavia and Mechabel on Shabbos, extinguishing the coals. So therefore, ideally what you should do, you should have a stand. The pot should be standing on a stand, and shot on a, what did you say, on a tripod, or what did you say?
Rack,
that's, yeah. Yeah, something like that, that's the best. Okay, if you don't have one of those, you're not lucky enough to have it, what you should do then, and it's actually submerged in the coals, you've got the pot submerged in the coals, now if you're lifting it up, what's going to happen is that the coals are going to get extinguished, that's also on Shabbos, kibui, havor on Shabbos. So what you could do, says the Mishnah Berurah, says the Ramah, you can ask a goy to do it for you. You can ask a goy to lift it up, and why are you allowed to do so? The answer is because amir lenochi of hepsigresha, you know, of the reisa is muta. I'm allowed to ask a goy to do a melocha, although inevitably it's going to cause a kibbutz and avodah to take place. You allowed amir lenochi. If you're asking a goy to do it for you, and that is muta. Rule number. The Gemara continues. What happens if you haven't got a goy handy? What happens if you've got a goy handy? The Gemara says there's another chiddush. Then you can do it yourself. If you think you can lift it up, and it's not for sure going to happen, it's not a vada, it's not a psikresha, it's not 100% sure that the coals are going to get removed, it's fine, you can do it. Why? Because dovah she'ein mischaven is muta. Whenever you don't have any, it's not certain. There's a rule on Shabbos. Dovah she'ein mischaven is muta. If you're not intending to do the melacha, if it's dovah she'ein mischaven, machloek is in the Gemara, and we pass the dovah she'ein mischaven is muta. Certainly, if it's going to for sure happen, it's a psikresha. You're not allowed to do it. But if it remains by a level of dovah she'ein mischaven, if you're not sure the coals are going to get extinguished, it's permitted. Even if at the end they're going to get extinguished, it doesn't matter. Because you did an action of dovah she'ein mischaven, which a paskin is permitted. And that's why the Gemara allows it. Does that make sense? So three levels. Again, ideally, put it on a stand. If you haven't got a stand, ask the goy to move it. That's the best, yeah? Ask the goy, yeah? What's your neighbor? What's your pardon?
Stand
is the best. Second best is the goy. And the third best is that if you're not sure it's going to get mamash extinguished, if it's dovah she'ein mischaven, it's muta as well. Yes, it is. And that's why psikresh is also. Dovah she'ein mischaven is muta. However, if it's a psikresha, then it goes back to Issa. It certainly is. But nevertheless, it's also, and because of that, it's also. Nevertheless, it's also if it's a psikresha. Psikresha means, so the way it works is dovah she'ein mischaven is muta. If I remove the pot and I don't intend to extinguish the coals, I'm allowed to do it. However, Mishneh Berurah says, if the coals are leaning on it, and I know for sure they're going to get extinguished, so although I don't have any intention, but at the end of the day, it's a psikesha. It's inevitably going to happen. And although it's enem ischaven, but it's a psikesha, and therefore it's also. Does that make sense? Yeah. I'm kidding, it makes sense. Even if, no, so the Mishnah Berurah is mechadish that even if it is a psik reisha, it's going to be mutter because the poskim said, I don't know if Mishnah Berurah points it out over here, otherwise you don't have to come on to the goy. Yeah, psik reisha has to be a davar sheni mischaven, but it's also davar sheni mischaven is a heta and psik reisha is an issa. Yeah. No, this is all on Shabbos. Before Shabbos is all fine. Yeah, it's tafka on Shabbos. Yes, and Mishnah Berurah says if you know, Mishnah Berurah Sifkot Nun Aleph says if you know it's in it, you're not allowed to move it. It's for sure going to happen, and it's a psikesha, it's also. Yeah. I'll give you another example.
It's like, I mean, if you ask him to, you haven't switched, you want to get the food. You're asking him to move the pot because you want the food inside. You're asking him to do a malacha.
Yeah.
But by asking him to do that, it causes the coals to move.
Yeah. So if I would walk, if I'd ask a goy to move, to walk in a place where the light goes on, it's a bit of a radical example, but just, I'm allowed to ask him, do you mind to walk past here? It's in. And the light goes on, yeah? I'm allowed to ask him, do you mind? I'm allowed to walk past. Can you please walk over here? He's going to walk past, the light goes on. Because I'm asking a goy to do melacha, which is a psikresha of the issa. It's a psikresha. It's going to go on. I know it's going to go on, but it's a psikresha. It's amir lenochi, psikresha, it's mutter. Yeah, okay, I hear that. I hear that. Yeah, okay, so you want... Yes, okay, so we have to think of a better example. Yeah, think of a better example. Yeah, that's... Yeah, so therefore what? If I ask a goat to schlep a bench, which is going to cause a... Yeah, so that would be a psikresha. Well, if it is a psikresha, then... Yeah. Perhaps as an example. Okay, Rabbi, so just to recap what we covered tonight. We learned that Shehiyah is different. But first, we spoke about how to define Chatzi Bishl and Shlish Bishl. We spoke about the Chazanish. Then we moved on and we discussed about that Shehiyah is different than Hatmona. We spoke that Hatmona is Removi, is Mechadish already, that Hatmona is, if it's uncovered on top, it's not considered Hatmona. And then we moved on and spoke about the three levels that ideally should have. If there's another problem over here of extinguishing fire on Shabbos, he said that if it's ideally, if you should lift it up by having some sort of tripod or something. If not, you can ask a goy to do it. Although it's a psikesha, you have to ask a goy to remove the pot. Although it's a psikesha. And finally, we learned that if it's not a psikesha, if it's not sure it's going to get moved and extinguished, then it's mutter because dovashen mischaven is mutter on Shabbos, even on Issa de'aisim. Okay, good evening, Abba Yisrael.